This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, my fellow Americans. This is Washington Watch. We are coming to you from Cleveland, Ohio, the site of the 2016 Republican National Convention. It is Monday, July 11, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm your guest host, Ken Klukowski, Senior Counsel and Director of Strategic Affairs at First Liberty Institute, the largest law firm in the United States, exclusively dedicated to protecting religious liberty for all Americans. Check out what we're doing there, fighting for your rights at firstliberty.org. Also, Senior Legal Editor for Breitbart News Network, exposing the truth about the liberal left and telling you the real news that the mainstream media tries to ignore. Find out what's really going on in your country at Breitbart.com. But I'm not speaking to you today on behalf of First Liberty or Breitbart. Instead, I'm speaking to you as a husband, as a father, as a citizen, blessed to live in the greatest nation in the history of planet Earth, the United States of America. We're going to be talking about faith, family, and freedom, and this is going to be an incredible show. News is fast breaking here. We're trying to stay on top of it. In fact, our first guest is going to be a little delayed getting to us because he's actually proposing and debating an amendment to the Republican National Committee Party platform here at the platform committee in Cleveland, Ohio. So in the meantime, I just came from the committee room myself and am going to give you all a sense, breaking news, my report from the scene while we're waiting for our guests to be able to catch up with you. We've got a lineup of guests, all of whom are delegates right here in Cleveland, elected from one of the sovereign states and sent here with their brethren to discuss, debate, and propose a platform for the Republican Party to be adopted by the full convention of delegates when they gather here to nominate a president and vice president for the United States next week. So it's for those of you who aren't familiar with it, the way this works, and I've been doing conventions since 2004 in various capacities, not just as a journalist, but as a lawyer, as a policy analyst, and as a political contributor, is you have every 4 years you have these national conventions. Now, in the week preceding the convention, you have a couple important meetings. You have what's called the Platform Committee and the Rules Committee. Now, I know plenty of you are probably like, okay, this sounds like this sounds like bureaucracy. This is how democracy works, folks. It's not bureaucracy, it's democracy. In that what you have here is the parties are organized around a platform. A platform is full of planks. That's where the party says, this is where we stand on a given issue. And those issues are important to you. There's a plank on marriage. There's a plank on life versus abortion. There's a plank on the sanctity of the family. There's a plank. In fact, as I left the room, they were debating what language they should have, honoring the Bible and discussing the appropriate role of the Bible being taught as literature in local high schools across the United States, and what language would properly express that they seek to encourage states and local governments to teach the Bible as literature so that people could have a greater understanding of the Judeo-Christian values that this country was founded upon. How they could do that without overstepping the role of the federal government in terms of trying to force something upon the states. So that's what was going on moments ago as I came out, and it's why at least one, if not two, of our guests are going to be late in that regard, as they were prime participants in that discussion. So the party platform is about the principles that we gather upon. And I should say in this context as well, for all of you out there, it's important for you to know and to understand, and for me to be explicit, that Washington Watch and our affiliates do not take a position on or endorsement on President of the United States or any candidate for federal office. Any endorsements that anyone chooses to make is in their personal capacity only as a citizen and as a voter and do not reflect the positions of Washington Watch or our local affiliates. And in fact, one of the other things, all of you that were being debated earlier on today was what was called the Johnson Amendment, which is relevant to that language that I thought was important to share with you. And one of the subcommittees today were debating the Johnson Amendment. That was passed by LBJ back when he was a senator, before he became president of the United States. That's the amendment that was added to the tax code, Title 26 of the United States Code, the Internal Revenue Code, which is used to make it illegal for churches to weigh in on political matters, specifically to endorse or oppose candidates for office or specific political matters, because they could engender their tax-exempt status. The Johnson Amendment was put in originally to try and silence some interest groups, and then it grew as the government became more liberal and is now used to try and keep churches from engaging in the public square. That, too, was being debated today in the Subcommittee on Restoring Constitutional Government on exactly what language they should use in opposing the Johnson Amendment. And, in fact, many of those present expressed gratitude that Donald J. Trump told a gathering of evangelical leaders several weeks ago in Manhattan, a meeting where I was present myself and Tony Perkins, who will be our first guest. Where Donald Trump promised to, in fact, repeal the Johnson Amendment. But while we're waiting for FRC President Tony Perkins to come on again, he's actually proposing an amendment that's going to be debated. And so I'm going to pull in a vice president from Family Research Council. David Christensen manages government affairs for Family Research Council. He was with me present in the room where the platform committee was debating these things. And he's been gracious enough to step out and give us a few minutes of his time. David, thanks for joining us on Washington Watch.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks. Good to be with you.
And all of the few minutes that it took me to get into studio here. Really, really appreciate you stepping in, because as I was explaining to the folks before you got on, that this is democracy in action. You know, we've got our schedule, but sometimes democracy takes time, that there was a spirited discussion. We were talking about religious liberty, about the role of the Bible being taught as literature. And so as a result, because Tony Perkins is what the leading voice is in that discussion, that's why he's still stuck in the hearing room right now as we speak, fighting to keep a strong religious liberty position in the Republican Party platform. I just want to open it up and say, what's your reaction to what's going on in the room right now?
Well, I think it's a very good spirited discussion about education policy in our country, as well as religious liberty. And frankly, it became a big debate about where our country is, where our country was founded, the forefathers, in terms of their views on religious liberty and the importance of the Bible, the Judeo-Christian ethic. And, you know, you had a few delegates who would like to say, oh, they kind of argued, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't really want public schools teaching the Bible. And Tony objected at one point and pointed out that, hey, look, there's curricula out there that uses the Bible as literature, and
that's right.
It's a voluntary basis. This is not a mandated or coercion kind of an issue, but people should be able to be free to use the Bible in curriculum in the schools. And the good news is that amendment to strike that language Tony offered this morning, that amendment to strike was failed. The delegates
are
fairly conservative. So that's really good news, and they are on to some more amendments.
Well, I'll tell you, and I recall the line there from Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach, who is there as part of the Kansas delegation to the Republican National Convention. And folks, I'll tell you, everyone, make a mental note on this. keep track of the name Kris Kobach. This is a guy who is a young, energetic, constitutional conservative. I believe he was the right hand of John Ashcroft back when he was U.S. Attorney General in the first term of the Bush 43 presidency. A brilliant lawyer, graduate of Yale Law, was a law professor. Then he got involved in national politics, now is the Kansas Secretary of State. It's just a brilliant, solid constitutional conservative and someone that who's always been enormously impressive for me. He made the point, the historical point, when some delegates were saying, well, golly, can we go here? He said, look, in 1789, when there was no national education system, because education was left to state and local governments, he said that in 1789, the first Congress supported dispensing and providing public funds to help dispense Bibles to every school child in America because of its educational value.
It's really important to hear Kris Kobach defend that, and other people, educators actually, who are delegates on the committee. You said this is democracy in action, defending the freedom of Americans to be able to use the Bible and literature. You know, this is about religious liberty, and this is about freedom. So it was a good debate. I think the point that you make about the history, I think Kris was giving all of us a little bit of an educational update ourselves. So
he's a smart man, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a smart guy. There's a lot of good delegates here from around the country, and it's good to hear them weigh in, debate the issues. Sometimes the debates seem to be a little bit contentious, but I think it's in good fun and good spirit and a sense of a desire to see the democracy play out. You know,
I'll tell you, David, it's Winston Churchill once said that democracy is the worst form of government on earth, except for all the others.
Except for all the others. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I think the people here, the delegates here, are so sick and tired of this administration sort of being anti-democratic and ramming their policies through people without Congress's approval, redefining all kinds of issues, redefining marriage, the courts. So they're enjoying this ability to debate these issues and vote on it and pass it. Statement of principles, like you said, is the focus on religious liberty. A lot of other issues are coming up as we speak on this family chapter, the family section of the platform. And so far, it's going pretty well.
Well, and that seems to be a unifying theme to me, David, having seen now hours of the debate going on. I think you really hit it on the head there in terms of saying that this is that they're, regardless of where they stand on individual issues, it seems like all the delegates agree that under Barack Obama, America for the past several years has been dealing with an imperial president and an overweening federal government that has tried to establish whatever agenda it wants and just cram it down the throats of every state and every local community, regardless of what the people there want. We've got 40 seconds. What's your reaction?
No, I think you're right. I think you're going to see a lot more amendments in this section of the platform, and good provisions come out of it, defending the freedom of Americans to live out their beliefs, free from government discrimination, whether it's based on the views of marriage, it's because they object to abortion. I was just actually texting Tony. So on Wednesday, the Congress, you know, U.S. Congress is going to vote on the Constitutional Protection Act to bar government discrimination against health care providers because they object to abortion. Well, pro-life should be punished for being pro-life. That is in this platform. And so we're seeing a lot of those kinds of freedom themes in the platform as it relates to family, strong.
And that, in fact, would be a jobs issue. And we're heading to break now. David, we appreciate you stepping in on this. Folks, stay with us. We'll be back after the break, live from Cleveland.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Marquis Laughlin is founder of Acts of the Word Ministry and host of the radio and online show The Moral Dilemma. He challenges believers to develop a biblical worldview through dramatized illustrations and interpretive readings of the Bible.
They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Marquis Laughlin is sure to be an entertaining speaker this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plans soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
What's at stake in this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
And we're back, America. This is Ken Klukowski sitting in for Tony Perkins on Washington Watch, coming to you live from Cleveland on the shore of the Great Lakes as we are here for the Republican Platform Committee as one of America's two great political parties. A debate on where they stand on the issues that impact faith, freedom, and family to direct the course of this nation's future, whether or not we're going to continue with a centralized government-based model, or instead if we're going to try and devolve power from the nation's capital back out to states, to local communities, and in fact, to you and your family to run your personal affairs as you see fit. And in that regard, it's we've had a whole lineup of delegates who are going to be giving us firsthand accounts of what's going on in the party platform. But democracy is messy, and democracy is running late today. And the people that we collared to be guests for you because they're leaders, they're leading right now on the floor. And so we've been bringing in friends of ours from the audience. We just had David Christensen, who's vice president of government affairs at Family Research Council, stepping in currently for the president of FRC, Tony Perkins, as he, in fact, as David was saying, was just fighting for an amendment regarding getting away from a radical secularism, just an amendment that would encourage local school systems to have the option to be able to teach the Bible as literature. Now, I should add, one of the reasons that specifically that was done is because there are school systems that have done that for a number of years. Not surprisingly, there are some radical leftists who have sued, saying that that was unconstitutional. Those curricula have gone to court, and they have survived court challenges where teachers are not teaching specific beliefs on communion or on the attributes of God or upon miracles such as the virgin birth or, of course, centrally for Christians, especially the resurrection, but rather the historicity of the Bible. The Bible is literature, And so we are, as our friends are continuing to fight for these things, even as we speak, and working hard, working in a, I think, a good cooperative spirit. There have been some energetic debates, but I've been very, very pleased with the outcomes that have been coming out with this committee on any number of issues. And then all of this will be set before the full Republican Party platform tomorrow, and also before the party's nominee for President of the United States next week. And of course, Tony Perkins and I will be working together to bring you all the news on that next week. In the meantime, as we are continuing to cover what's going on, I do want to point all of you to a story that I just broke from location just a couple hours ago. If you go to Breitbart.com, you'll be able to find that. And that is that GOP delegates were given new poll numbers just over lunchtime showing that Americans oppose the left's transgender push in this country. It's transgenderism and LGBT issues as a whole have been a big topic of debate here, as I'm sure many of you would imagine. And the subcommittees met during the morning hours. They were debating then. I was between the different rooms and was filing news reports. And in fact, in one of those committees, Tony Perkins, again, was leading a group of conservative delegates in what I call a sparring in a cordial manner with another delegate, Annie Dickerson from New York. Activists in the room said that she was specifically picked there representing the views of Paul Singer, the billionaire hedge fund manager who's been pushing the LGBT agenda in the Republican Party. And they were debating language regarding sexuality and gender issues in the Republican Party platform. And there was a real talk about, well, we want to be a big tent party. We don't want to be scaring people away. We don't want to be chasing people away. Now, the reality is that everyone acknowledges that transgender individuals make up only a fraction of 1% of the U.S. population. The only question is how big that percentage is. The lowest estimate out there was 0.003%. The highest estimate out there was pushed by the most liberal outlets who are trying to inflate the numbers as much as possible, said 0.3%. So the issue here is about whether we should entirely revolutionize an entire society to put 0.3% of the population on a special pedestal and force the other 99.7% to embrace it by government power, by government fiat. This isn't about individuals choosing how to act with each other. This is about whether the government can shut down a business or say that a business is violating civil rights if they don't go along with this. I mean, there was a debate going on just over this past week, legislatively, from one state in terms of whether churches would even be subject to this. Iowa, the Hawkeye state, has a civil rights act that adds sexuality and gender identity to the state's anti-discrimination statute, putting it on the same level as race. And colleagues of mine at First Liberty Institute send a demand letter to the Iowa Civil Rights Commission, representing a church in the state that was actually informed by a brochure from the Civil Rights Commission that they could be subject to this Civil Rights Act, where the issue was any services you're holding out to the public, you need to allow people to use the bathroom of whatever gender they associate with, and that employees there need to address that person by their preferred pronoun, such as he or she. Obviously, these are huge issues regarding religious liberty. Thankfully, having sent that demand letter and contacted with it, the Iowa Civil Rights Commission has now backed down. They are saying that they repudiate any prior communications that gave any contrary interpretation, that instead they will not be pursuing our church, and we presume other churches as well, with regards to these LGBT issues. When we come back after the break, we're going to unpack these polling numbers showing that by an overwhelming majority, the American people are not on board with President Barack Obama and liberals in Washington, D.C. and on this. You'll be encouraged, I think, by these numbers to show you that common sense will prevail. We'll be back from Cleveland right after the break on Washington Watch.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
I imagine that the question that I get most often when I travel about and I'm speaking, I'm doing town hall meetings, seminars, whatever the situation is, and of course on the radio every day, people ask me the question of, how can I find a financial advisor that I can trust? And my answer is relatively simple. I really don't know. It's difficult to know the answer to that. I can give some red flags. I can give some things that you ought to be looking for. But you know what? I tell people all the time, and this is a sad state of the environment in which we live, but just because someone is a Christian doesn't mean that they're either knowledgeable enough to do the right thing or, in fact, are going to do the right thing. That's not always the case either. Here's a couple of things that you might want to look for. If you are interviewing, as you should do, a financial advisor, the first thing you should think about is, do they have a solution for me? In other words, do they immediately have something that would help me that they want to put me in? That's red flag number one, because without a real proper and thorough getting to know you, it's very difficult for a financial advisor to really understand what your needs are. See, the other thing is, do they have my goals and objectives and my best interest in mind, or is it in their best interest? You have to determine that. And last, the other thing is, do we both, if you're a married couple, feel good about that person? Or maybe the Lord has put a little bit of a check in your spirit. Pay attention and listen to it. It's usually right.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
And America, we're back. We're going to be opening up the show to your thoughts and comments about what's going on here in Cleveland regarding the future of this country and the other breaking news that we have going on today. So give us a shout out at 866-372-7234. That, after all, is what this show is about. It's about you. It's about the American people. It's about your families. It's about your future. It's about your freedom. I'm going to get to these poll numbers in a second here, but as I'm doing that, I want to give you all a few seconds to be able to call in, because it looks like I am told that the debate is just ripping and roaring in the party platform committee room here in Cleveland, in the building right next to me that I just came from. And so we're going to let them roll, let democracy prevail, and we will be getting to all those people on tomorrow's show. I will be guesting here all week, bringing you all the breaking news of what's going on. You'll be thankful to know that I've already seen the schedule for tomorrow, and it's going to be over well before we get to showtime, so there'll be no excuse for anyone to not be able to make it on our show, and that's what we're going to be able to do. In the meantime, you and I are going to talk about your freedom and your future at 866-372-7234. So it's, I don't know where you stand on these things. I mean, it's maybe you're fed up with the Republican Party. Maybe you've never voted Republican anyways. Maybe you're a cynic about government as a whole. It's we spoke with someone just recently who says that that they don't believe God wants them to engage in everything, that they should just stay home and pray. If any of those thoughts describe you, then call in and throw down. Make your case to the American people. You and I will discuss it and let the people decide at 866-372-7234. Now, as you're calling in and getting set up with those callers, I want to go ahead and turn back to this news report that I filed. WPA opinion research poll just came out today during lunchtime, asking this question of 1,012 adults nationwide. That's all adults, not screened for particular beliefs or whatnot. And the question was, do you approve or disapprove of government forcing schools, businesses, and nonprofit organizations to open the showers, changing facilities, locker rooms, and bathrooms designed for women and girls to biological males, and vice versa? Now, if you're listening to the mainstream media right now, you would think that, okay, those numbers might be evenly divided, but more likely are in favor of what the left is calling tolerance and equality. Of course, when they speak about tolerance, they don't tolerate you. They don't tolerate me. They don't tolerate anyone who disagrees with them on this or just about any other issue. And they don't believe that a person who says, I regard the Bible as the word of God, I believe it is the sole sufficient rule for faith and practice in my life. It dictates what I believe. It dictates how I live my life. And plenty of good things in there that everyone should be able to agree with, such as do unto others as you would have done unto you, such as love your neighbor as yourself. Do not steal, do not lie, do not commit adultery. One would think that these are all unobjectionable and that a person choosing to order their life around such principles that everyone should be able, even if they don't do it themselves, they should be able to certainly tolerate you doing it. Because if you're their neighbor, they're going to be the beneficiary of having a neighbor like that. But the left won't tolerate it. So what are the poll numbers on this? Do you approve or disapprove of government forcing people to do this? The numbers are stunning. Only 28% approved of this new push to redefine sex to include gender identity and transgenderism. A full 66%, more than double that number, disapproved. Now, when you look more deeply at the polling data, then it gets even more interesting because it says that 13% somewhat approve, 14% somewhat disapprove. Okay, that's about even. But when you get to the question of whether you strongly approve or whether you strongly disapprove, only 15% strongly approve. In contrast, 52% strongly disapprove. Folks, that's about a 40-point gap in what we call the intensity gap. 52%, more than half of the American people, not only disapprove of the government forcing these things, they say they strongly disapprove. And only 15% say that they strongly approve. That's more than a 3-to-1 margin. That's the reality of what the American people think on this issue. And again, this is all adults. When you get into registered voters as a whole tend to be slightly more conservative and slightly more Republican than the total adult population in the United States. Then when you're talking about voter turnout, that means among registered voters, who's actually likely to get out and vote? Likely voters tend to be slightly more conservative and slightly more Republican than registered voters. This is a poll of adults, folks. 28% approve of the transgender push, 66% disapprove, 15% strongly approve, and a full 52%, slightly more than half, so a majority of the American people strongly disapprove of this agenda, of the government forcing this upon people. Now, I'll say before we go to break, and then we're opening up the line for your calls up through the rest of the hour, is that this does not mean that people, that a business can't decide to have a transgender bathroom. The question is, who gets to have a decision like that? Is it the business owner? Or is it the government, and especially the federal government in Washington, D.C., forcing these things upon the American people? And again, that's the debate that was going on this morning and this afternoon for the Republican Party platform here in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to break now. When we come back in just a few minutes, opening up the phone lines to you, 866-372-7234, back in a flash.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we'll visit on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon is the United States Marine Corps Memorial, also known as the Iwo Jima Memorial, built in 1954 and the largest bronze statue in the world. Stephen McDowell, who's the president of the Providence Foundation, a historian, will join us all along the way, answer questions, talk about the people, the places, and the events in our nation's capital, and then on to Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. In addition, we'll go to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown for those who want to join us for this separate trip, which just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour. For all the information on either of these tours, just visit us on the website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, this is in September. Go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to vote for candidates that stand for biblical principles and biblical moral values and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
People should go to the bathroom where they want to go to the bathroom.
And ISIS is not on the run, it's on the rise.
We are expressing to justice our view that no charges are appropriate in this case.
The signs of America's cultural decay are everywhere. We desperately need a revival-driven change to restore spiritual and political wisdom. With your help, the American Family Association is making a difference. AFR stations have launched or are launching in 8 more cities, with the potential to reach 2.5 million new listeners. A second project is the feature-length documentary, The God Who Speaks, Reaffirming Biblical Authority. The American Family Studios project is currently in production. AFA has already spent over $500,000 on these projects. Your gift toward offsetting costs means the voice of Christian America will be expanded.
This man was not on a watch list.
Goodbye, First Amendment.
The nation in trouble.
Pray today and be listening Tuesday, July 12th for more information. Because America cannot wait.
And we're back, America, and we are opening up the phone lines, talking to you through the rest of the hour here on your thoughts on the course of this nation and what you see. One of the great American parties, the grand old party, the Republican Party, of Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan, getting ready to square off against Hillary Clinton and the party of Barack Obama on the future of you, your family, your freedom, and your nation. We want to know what you have to say about that at 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, and we are going to start today with Carol from Texas. Carol from Texas, you're on Washington Watch.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing well. It's been this has been an extemporaneous show, Carol. It's been as I said earlier, democracy is messy, and it's great to watch it unfolding there. But it's given us a chance to stretch our legs here in Cleveland. So we're doing great. Thank you for joining us.
I would love to be able to be in that room to hear the debate. That's not possible. But it would be, I think it would be amazing, especially the minds that are in there that are talking, and you're looking at both sides of an issue.
I'm glad you're raising that, Carol. Do me a favor, go ahead and crank down the radio for me there. I hear myself in the background. But this is, it's the lineup in there? Because I've had some people who have expressed concerns about, well, you know, Donald Trump, he used to belong to another political party. He said some stuff that's not particularly conservative. I don't know where I stand on this guy. I mean, you know, a lot of people are real skeptical about that. If you were to see the lineup of people that we have on the party platform here, people like Tony Perkins, like David Barton from Texas, like Chris Kobach from Kansas, whom we were just talking about, like Jim Bott from Indiana, another famous constitutional lawyer. You have Senator Barrasso as chairman of the platform committee, Congresswoman Virginia Fox from North Carolina. I mean, these are people who are stalwart constitutional conservatives. I mean, across the board, unbending, unflagging. You know, these are people who throw down on a daily basis for constitutional principles and for limited government and personal freedom. And I have to say, it's encouraging when you're talking with those people, and then you listen to them. And you're conversing with them and how passionate they are about this, I think you'd be real encouraged if you were here, Carol.
I would love to be there. And I know that I would be encouraged because the people that you talked about, like you say, they are stalwart conservatives. They're Bible-believing Christians who believe that the Bible doesn't just belong at home on a bookcase or left in the church.
And yeah, a great many of them do, Carol. Now, of course, there are plenty of them in the room who don't believe as you and I do. And again, that's one of the beauties in America, is that in the United States, you have the legal right to be theologically wrong. I mean, that's the heart of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, is that how you understand Scripture and how you answer to God is ultimately between you and God, that Congress or the President or the Supreme Court do not take a position on that. But there are a great many people with committed walks for the Lord there in that room, and I think you'll be pleased with what you see coming out of this process. I know I've been greatly encouraged today. Thank you, Carol. Turning now to Dan from Louisiana, you're on Washington Watch.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello, Dan, doing well. What can we do for you? Ken Klukowski here.
Yes, sir. I just picked up your program. I'd just like to say, you know, I know a lot of policies are changing, especially for transgender. As I was contemplating starting a business, I now worry that I'm going to have bathrooms for transgender people. So we're kind of second, you know, we're praying about that. But my thing, and one of the things that I've been sharing with my coworkers and whatnot, is that if we keep allowing government to keep overreaching, if we were to join together as big enough a group, watch the government not turn on us and treat us like an enemy and send armies against us to shut us down.
Well, I'll tell you, Dan, I think you'll be encouraged to see what comes out. I know that I have today, what comes out this week and next out of Cleveland, Ohio. And I'll tell you, I think it's going to present a very stark choice to the American people. Again, Washington Watch doesn't take a position on president. There are no endorsements or anything for any political party. But you are going to see I'll tell you from an informational standpoint, that you are going to see just a tremendously stark difference between what one side versus the other side is offering you on issues like being able to run a business according to your belief. Thank you, Dan. Turning now to Thomas from Mississippi, you're on Washington Watch. Thomas, are you with us? Thomas from Mississippi. We've lost Thomas. He just can't take all the excitement. Turning now to Gene from Pennsylvania. Gene, you're on Washington Watch.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Gene.
Hello.
Ken Klukowski here. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm just asking the Lord to give me wisdom, because I speak with my heart. And my heart tells me the biggest problem we have today is the government. Because the government today is not for the people. It's dividing the people.
I think I agree with you there. And I'll tell you that, Gene, that isn't a new problem. I think it's a lot worse these days than it's been in previous years. But, you know, Ronald Reagan, when he was running for president, more than a quarter century ago, he said the 9 scariest words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." Now, as he famously said when he was running for president, he said, "Government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem." In that kind of bedrock conservative, constitutional conservative view on government, that has been dominating the discussion here out of Cleveland today, which I hope is something you find encouraging. I've been very encouraged by it.
Well, what I see is how the government back in the 60s, they came in and went to help the black community by giving them aid if they had women with children with no husband in the home. And they got to where a gentleman that had a wife and 2 children and a woman lived down the road that had 3 children with no husband, and they were getting more money from the government. The woman down the road was getting more money from the government than the man could bring home for his two children and his wife himself.
So I'm glad you're raising that, Gene. There was actually one of the amendments that were debated today was on how the government could adopt welfare policies that encouraged men and women to stay married and to take care of their children, and that would not provide financial incentives for cohabitation or out-of-wedlock childbirth. It was done to celebrate parents who did take on the duties of single parenting, but to encourage the nuclear family of man and woman being bound together in marriage and caring for the children that their union produces, how that was the bedrock, or as the amendment said, a cornerstone of our society. So certainly a huge issue, and one that is being debated right here, right next door to where I'm sitting as we speak. Gene, thanks for calling in. Turning now to Kevin from Oklahoma. Kevin, you're on Washington Watch in what has been a very unorthodox show. So unorthodox that we just got a busy signal with Kevin. Turning now to Steve from Louisiana. Steve, you're on Washington Watch. I'm sorry, Steve from Iowa.
Yeah, okay.
Steve, are you joining us from Iowa or from Louisiana?
From Iowa.
The Hawkeye State. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you. It's definitely a heated debate in this area where I live, and I just like to tell people, you know what, one day we're all going to stand before God, and he's going to ask us, you know, what have you done, what have you not done, you know, kind of thing. I don't know exactly what he's going to say, you know, and if people tell me, well, you know, I don't believe in God, and I love the old bumper sticker that says, I'd rather believe that there is a God and find out there isn't, than to not believe that there's a God and find out there is. And it's just a matter of sharing, you know, what the Bible says about, you know, this stuff is going to happen, unfortunately. You know, God stated it in the Bible, and do we want our hands involved in the bad situation to the fact that we are not doing anything to make it not happen?
You talked about in terms of being civically engaged, like getting involved with the election. Is that what you're referring to, Steve?
Well, you were talking about the LGBT stuff, it's a matter of having people really think through, you know, where is God involved in these people, you know, that are up for election, and you know, just really pray about it. And you know, I've got some friends that they're pretty hardcore, they're hard-nosed about certain things, and And, you know, it's like, wait a second, well, what about these issues that this person is you know, working on? Does that line up with God? You know, and it's like some people just shut down because, you know, they just, they're so hard-nosed about their own convictions that they don't want to even consider what some of the realities are that are going on that would, you know, take them away from their original position. So,
can you give me an example, Steve?
Well, let's see. I've got a pastor friend who, and please understand, I am in no way racially prejudiced. Okay, I have a number of friends that are a number of different ethnicities, but this one pastor who, you know, he says he's a Christian, but he is lining himself up with the people who are promoting the wrong agendas based on what the Bible says. And so
he says that because of the Bible, he's lining up on the other side of these issues?
No, it's because of who it is that he likes. And maybe this is going beyond where we were supposed to be, but he says that people hate Obama because he's black, and that's not the case. There are people that don't appreciate...
Yeah, there might be some racist out there, but I have to say, I mean, it's like for me, I am passionately opposed to President Barack Obama. Now, it's not because of his skin color. I mean, the man that I do business with, you know, it's my business partner of sorts, and a man for whom I've never met a man I have a higher regard for in my life is African American. I oppose Barack Obama because I oppose an imperial presidency, because I oppose an out of control federal government that presumes to dictate radical environmental and educational and labor policies that are killing jobs, that are leaving people unable to support themselves, and that has the view that people do not have a right to live their lives or run their business according to their faith, that he believes that no one should be owning guns, trying to take guns away from people, and packing the Supreme Court with justices who vote against what I regard as fundamental rights that are the cornerstone of this country. Whether a person, in fact, I'll say this very clearly. I oppose Hillary Clinton as strongly as I oppose Barack Obama. And their skins are different colors. So for me, it's not about skin color. It's about what a person stands for. And you're saying that you have at least one pastor who you're saying that you think just looks at the world through a completely different lens. That's kind of what I'm hearing here.
He's definitely saying that in regards to Obama. Okay.
Well, I think, yeah, for people like that, Steve, it's we're going to have to jump here, but yeah, I mean, it's for someone who is so blinded that they're not, you know, we need to get to a colorblind society, one where, as Martin Luther King said, we judge a person by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. And you know what? That's a two-way street, and I think you agree. Steve, thanks for joining us. Our last caller today is Earl from Missouri. Earl, you're on Washington Watch. We're short on time, so give it to me fast.
Well, hi, Ken. Am I the one up here?
Hey, go right ahead, Earl.
All right, well, listen, thank you so much for taking my call. The question that I have is this. What substantive action is going to come from this meeting? It seems to me that our government is so completely out of control that they do not represent the majority of the people anymore, as you have stated with these current poll figures that have come out. So my question is, we can debate this a lot, but we really, if we Christians, if we conservatives, those of us who still have a little bit of common sense, want to take our country back, I want to know what we can do.
Well, I'll tell you, and Earl, we're going to have to roll, but I'll tell you, you get engaged. It's those poll numbers that I gave you earlier, We can win this if people mobilize, if people get engaged, pray, and then get involved. This is the country that God has placed us in, and we can be thankful for it. Folks, that's all the time we have today. God bless. Thanks for joining us on Washington Watch.
Support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council. Visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.